This is RSBNB Update, episode 638, recorded Saturday, September 23rd, 2017, RuneFest 2017. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of RSBNB Update. Dave and myself are here, as we are for the most of September. RuneFest Day! let's just get a brief overview. We're obviously not there. What do you think of what you've seen so far? Just a couple words.
I am very confident. I really like where this is going. I think they have really sort of stayed true to their back to the roots, and they're really addressing some issues that needed to be addressed nonetheless.
Yeah. So the way it's going to work here today is we're going to talk a bit about the in-game festivities for RuneFest, the RuneScape skilling talk, the RuneScape reveals talk. We'll talk about anything noteworthy from combat and lore in the coming week or weeks, depending on how busy we are in this next week, though I imagine we will be pretty busy based on what we just saw here. One note before we do get going, though, Parnassius was going to join us, but was unable to at the last moment because of a scheduling conflict. So, we miss Parnassius, but hey, Dave and I are going to do the best we can here and see what we can, pull up for you guys on RuneFest.
Yeah.
So RuneFest isn't just the event in London. There is stuff that people could have participated in the real world. So there was the RuneFest in-game skill chip hunt, which is a very similar hunt to what happens at actual RuneFest. So you're able to go through all of the various little tasks that are provided by a new NPC in Taverly from Saturday the 23rd until I believe it's October 3rd. If I recall correctly.
Second, I believe.
Okay, October 2nd. Yeah. You speak to Skill Chip X right by the Lodestone, and he'll give you 8 tasks that you can complete, and each of these tasks will give you an XP lamp plus an extra one when you complete them all, and you'll get a little cosmetic that can be built in your POH, which is a showcase case for the RuneFest skill chips. I think that's kind of nice that they give that to everyone because, you know, normally you would assume that a piece of content like this would be reserved for people who were actually at RuneFest and would be given.
Right. Yeah. No, I like their being inclusive with this whole thing. So yeah, that's really cool.
So you can do that. Just run through Taverly and the various other tasks that you're given, just like the tasks that you're given if you're actually at RuneFest. So we'll catch up with this next week to see if there are any noteworthy tasks. Because of course I haven't done them yet because I've been watching videos. So,
yep.
Also, if you go to Diango or his counterpart in Prif, you can enter the promo code Back to Our Roots. That's the number 2, Back to Our Roots, BACK, number 2, OURROOTS, and you'll receive a live stream edition of the RuneFest Shield. So there's another giveaway for people who are watching on stream as well. So there's the code right there. There was also an anagram that they were posting up throughout the day at RuneFest. I haven't been able to see what the completed letters of the anagram are or what that might mean. But if that relates to anything in-game, of course, we'll bring that to you guys at the next episode of RSBNB Update. So, all right. So we're going to dive into RuneFest content right now. But before we do that, just a note to those of you guys who might be watching on YouTube. Because of the short production time of this episode, we don't have accompanying B-roll for most of the live streams that we're going to be talking about. So if you are looking at the YouTube version, you're likely just seeing a generic white version of the Google Doc notes that we're doing. So it's useful for following along, but it doesn't look that great. So just a note to everyone out there. So RuneFest kicked off today, and the first talk was introducing everyone to RuneFest and introducing a nice little montage history of what RuneScape is and where it's been. And what they did talk a little bit about was RuneScape Mobile. Mobile was available to play to everyone at RuneFest on Jagex devices, both old school and RuneScape 3. Apparently people... very early on during the day at RuneFest, someone did manage to kill Araxor on the RuneScape 3 beta test. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that the test accounts were all maxed.
No, you can log in with your own account.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's cool.
It was just...
It's at that phase to where it really is like, it's not just a, hey, this is sort of like what we made. It's actually integrating with the game. That's always good to see. So it's not like a pre-planned account or environment or whatever.
Yeah, the only thing that's really missing from it is the interfaces and whatnot. You know, it's still in that technical beta stage where they're trying to nail out the interfaces. So other things that came up with this, you know, there's obviously the question of what the earliest devices you'll be able to use for it. And they say, you know, it's too early to say, and they're it's going to be an ongoing project to keep optimizing RS Mobile and keep adding on to it. So it's in effect going to be another game client, just like NXT was another game client. So you can kind of see Wise at some point down the road they'll want to kill the Java client, though that wasn't specifically mentioned at this RuneFest, but you know it's got to be coming sometime in the next
sort of implied
in the next 1 to 2 years, I would imagine. So so the next steps for the RuneScape Mobile beta are to work on the top level interfaces, and after this the limited beta process will start, and this is the case for both old school RS and RuneScape 3. Now what they did say with this is that old school is still on track to get their beta of mobile by the end of this year, and RuneScape 3 will follow shortly thereafter. So they are on track with this from what we initially heard. And, you know, that's pretty much the only progress updates we heard on this. And, you know, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see that both of them were at least in a playable state today rather than... you know, because at least when I heard that old school would be getting it first, I pretty much thought that, you know, it would be old school. And then once that was either in beta or released, then they would start working on the RS3. But it's nice to see they're working on them, at least in some sort of a parallel fashion. So it's not going to be like necessarily a year gap in between. They're progressing quite nicely alongside each other.
Yeah. So. And for anyone interested, you can see what the old school team is working on in terms of the top level UI. So basically what we got here for the old school UI is that the chat is near the top left, and then there's a ribbon near the left that accesses what I would call auxiliary functions, kind of core to your player. And then on the right hand side accesses all the functions relating to inventory, what you're wearing, skills, quests, chat, settings, etc. Now, of course, this is going to be different on RS3 because RS3 you can completely customize the UI based on, you know, whatever you see. Mm-hmm. So this is what old school is doing, but they are detailing the process that they're following. So I would say that anyone who is interested in seeing what this might look like process-wise for RS3, not necessarily UI-wise, have a look at this old school dev blog. I'll include a link to it in the show notes, update.rsmovie.com. So, all right. So that's pretty much all we heard about RuneScape Mobile, unless you were actually there to play it. We might have some feedback from people who were at RuneFest later on about what mobile looks like, if any of them did have a chance to play it. So I want to go into RuneScape skilling, because this was a huge talk. It was given by mods Timbo and mod Ryan, and this is ineffectively the 5-year plan for RuneScape skilling. Now there's lots. I think I'm trying to think of a nice way of saying this. Do you know what I'm looking to say?
Yeah, but I'm having trouble as well.
Yeah. So we're looking 5 years out for this, and you know, we're not going to talk about this today on the show, but The sense I got is that this is supposed to be a collaborative venture between players and Jagex. Now, when you step out there and you give one of these talks about something that you feel so near and dear to, as Mods Timbo and Ryan do, you're going to want to say what you're truly feeling, and you want to, you know, give hope for the future and share how you feel about RuneScape, which is great. I really like that. Now, there's certain segments of the community I feel that, you know, even just based on today's RuneFest talks, are jumping unfairly to conclusions of what's going to happen with this. And I think instead of doing that with these talks, we have a chance to look at something that's really optimistic and can really change the way RuneScape works. So that's the way I want to look at it. And depending on where this goes in the next weeks and months, we might have to review this going forward to see where the community stands on it. But that's all we're going to say about community on this today, because I think we could go on for a long time on this. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So this talk started off by asking, what does RuneScape skilling look like in 2023, 5 years down the road? They ultimately want to bring skilling up to a level that is similar to combat, in that they share many of the same outlines and the same skeletons. And what this means is that they want diversification of skilling, end-game content for skills, skill reworks, and a new skill within the next 5 years, adding key milestones to skills, bringing back achievements, and adding more 120s to skills. And as an example of this is that, for example, every skill by 2023 should include an overload style device like Herblor has. So that's what they mean by adding endgame content. Now, of these, I think this is a very good pillar to discuss skilling with. I think they talk about a lot of what we've been talking about in the past regarding skills and making them useful again, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, for all intents and purposes, after you hear this, they could have called this the Make Skilling Great Again talk, because that's what it felt like to me.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, they go through each of these planks, and I just wondering what you think. Which of these planks to you is the most important?
Well, overall, when I heard this, just the line bring skilling up to a level that is similar to combat, I think the first step there is to bring it up to a level where it supports combat at that level. So I know we've talked about it before.
The synergy between the
mining,
the two.
Yeah, the mining and smithing rework. Like, make it so some of the top, you know, best gear you can get, you're able to craft it, whether it be, you know, it takes a lot more to craft it rather than get it from a drop, but just bring it up to that level, because at this point you're comparing apples to oranges. You know what I mean? So if you have something where the in-game parts of that skill literally aren't on the same level as what combat is, like if you're making something at level 99 smithing that can't be used for level 99 combat or bossing, then I think that's the first gap you should close right there. So whether it be synergizing with combat, I think those rewards should at least reflect how you do combat. So I think that's the gap they have to focus on first. But as far as skilling endgame content, I think having items and concepts similar to overloads for each skill is definitely a step forward and a step in the right direction.
All right, good. For me, it comes down to reworking skills, because last summer, 2 summers ago now, since summer's over, we did a podcast here called SOS, the State of Skills, which I think you were on.
I was, yep.
That was episode 577 of Update. We went through the various skills in game, and our in-depth analysis of this was that I'm going to take runecrafting off this list, because runecrafting feels useful again. But magic as a skill, not necessarily a combat type, woodcutting, fletching, fire making, crafting, agility, hunter, and construction in addition to mining and smithing, of course, all need major reworks to be made useful again. And, you know, they say that by 2023, that's definitely something they want to do, is a focus on reworking these skills and adding a new skill. So hearing that's very important to me, because that's something we've talked about before here. So
I really like that. The fact that they're using the 5-year window. It seems a lot more realistic to me, rather than saying in the next year we want to, you know,
right,
boom, 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 boom. We've heard that before, and we've also seen that that doesn't happen. So having, I think, a 5-year plan mixed in with everything else that they're working on, I think, is reasonable, and I think we're going to see a lot more sustained progress, you know, with that time frame.
All right, good. So let's dive into the actual talk here. First up was the diversification of skilling, and they say skilling should have a sliding scale between XP, GP, and intensity, and the goal is to have options that, you know, fit all the categories of this. And the reason they say this is because in the survey we filled out earlier in the year, 30% plus of people want skills to be fun to train, followed by rewarding, and then XP per hour. And this led into a discussion of lean forward versus lean backward type of skilling, whereas lean forward is, of course, going to be something like barbarian fishing, where lean backward will be waterfall fishing. And lean forward in the sense of runecrafting will be demonic skull, abyss, runecraft running, whereas lean backward will be the runespan. So you can kind of see the what they're aiming for here is to have a vast discussion of what these skills will entail. And this was a key admission for me, and I was very happy to hear this. Tackling the idea that waterfall fishing is both too AFK and too rewarding, and ultimately this is not what's wanted from a RuneScape skill, is because waterfall fishing effectively killed barbarian fishing, if we all remember that correctly. Mm-hmm. So yep. this is not what was wanted, and waterfall fishing was a little bit too much. So I think that was nice to hear, because that's something we talked about a lot on the show, and that's why I personally don't like waterfall fishing. So we'll see. Then your favorite skill, runecrafting, came up.
Oh, yes.
So they said old runecrafting was high intensity, decent GP, but of course lower XP. Runespan was high XP, low GP, and medium intensity. And the demonic skill fixed this issue that Runespan brought into the game, because Runespan was, of course, a higher XP alternative with zero GP compared to standard runecrafting running. The Demonic Skull fixed it because that is high intensity, high XP, and high GP gain. So that's in effect a way of affecting everything, because you can gain GP and you can gain XP, but it's also going to be intense because you have to run through the wilderness. So,
right, exactly.
So this is the classic example of the sliding scale that they talked about. And it was this talk here, seeing old runecrafting running, the runespan, and the demonic skull that said, told me I can take runecrafting off that list of a skill that needs a rework, because mm-hmm. it's got options for each type of gameplay. It's got the high XP runespan with low GP and medium intensity. And then it's got the low XP, good GP, high intensity runecrafting running. So, and then of course the demonic skull. So it basically has said here that runecrafting is in a good place right now, and this is a template that we want to apply to other skills when we start talking about diversification of them.
Right. So, and I think it's very inspirational, and you know, looking forward, very hopeful that this fix to runecrafting was literally made by one item. They didn't have to completely rework a skill. They didn't have to adjust, you know, level requirements for it. They literally just added an item with a percentage boost on it, and it took an old way and made it. It basically bridged that.
Made it great again.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
you know, another thing that they did, this was a very simple change, because they also reduced the amount of elemental runes and runes in general that were dropped by NPCs. Mm-hmm. So reduce the flow coming into the game.
And if I recall correctly, whenever this was released, I actually didn't see it, and Shane actually sent me the link,
right.
And I had to, it was sort of like in other news. It was just kind of a little footnote.
But exactly.
It really did sort of change the skill significantly. And this wasn't like some huge release, like, oh, runecrafting reworked. It was just one little thing sort of in the shadows, and it really just reworked the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, and there's – and with this also was the Rube Goldberg machine for Vizwax to take the existing runes out of the economy. So it worked quite nicely. And as you can see right now, fire runes are currently at 112 GP each.
Yep. So, I remember when they were, what, like 5 or 6? Nine. They were like right there, yeah.
Yeah. Nature runes as well. I mean, nature runes are 400 GP, and that's what they were back in the heyday of runecrafting running. So, yep. I mean, obviously this method works, and
yes.
Runecrafting isn't a good place, depending on how you feel, Dave, about RuneSpan. But
no, I think that it's perfect. I mean, the RuneSpan with the addition of the Demonic Skull, it basically corrected that huge flaw. I mean, a little, you know, too little too late. I wouldn't say that, but definitely too late in terms of everybody getting all the XP. But no, I really don't have a problem with RuneSpan anymore, because it's really sort of a lower XP, lower attention method of training. And if that's the way you like to play, go for it. I know I like to play that way. So it's just nice to have. If you want more XP, obviously you have to work for it. So yeah, I'm very satisfied with the state of runecrafting.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't a talk necessarily about runecrafting. This is what they want to achieve for all the skills in game.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think by doing that, it's a long-term process. And the best part about this is you don't need massive reworks for all the skills. Sure, you do for mining and smithing, but other skills can be tweaked, you know, in probably a simpler way. Mm-hmm. So, and one thing that was really hammered home throughout all this is that, you know, if you're at RuneFest and you have an idea for your favorite skill about how it could be made more diverse or, you know, adjusted, talk to us. If you have an idea after we get back, talk to us about these skills. Just, you know, get the ideas out there. And, you know, I think that's a really important thing for everyone to be doing. And,
yeah, I mean, if you have an idea, I can't stress enough to, you know, post it on the RuneScape official forums. Get peer feedback, you know, sort of.
Flesh the idea out.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of get it out, let it, you know, work, knead it around and, you know, work it around, and people will suggest, and you can refine and, you know, fine tune that. And the more views and the more hits you get on that, it will bring attention to the devs, and it's just one step closer. But you have to start somewhere. And even if it's just, hey, I think this would kind of be cool. That's all you need to get the spark going. And then everybody else be like, hey, this is cool too. What if, how about, and it just sort of snowballs from there. So.
Indeed. So also, along with this, they talked about end games, and this is something that that they really need to fix for these skills, because you look at combat and they have a clear end game, you know, boss pet, high drops, etc., maybe a clue scroll along the way, something like that, and what ends up happening is that you end up with skilling, which you basically just have your raw materials that come in, then the off chance of getting a clue scroll or a crystal Triskelion piece, and all the way up at the end, you end up with a skill pet. So they definitely want to fill in that that area there where there's nothing lacking, or where there's lots lacking. And they don't really have any ideas about what this could be at this point, but it's something they're thinking about. And the example that they give is that right now all you have for skilling milestones in skills, or rather skilling endgame, is Jack of all trades, the 5 pet title, Master Capes, and the Max Cape, which, you know, when you think about it, that's 100% true. So,
yeah.
I don't have any ideas with this right now, but I think it would be fun to see what we could come up with here.
Yeah, it's nice to know that it's on their mind, whether or not they have an idea for it. I think, again, the first step is realizing there's a problem and, you know, there's something, there's a space there that needs to be filled. So the fact that they realize that that's there is always a step forward. So.
Yeah. And, you know, this is another area where they want to hear from players over the next few months and so on and so forth, is outline what skilling could look like. So that's really all we heard about end games in this talk. The next talk was, of course, skill reworks. And this was a very popular topic for people in the survey, because 60% of the people who talked in the survey wanted skill reworks compared to new skills, which was at about 33%. And in general, people want to see between 1 and 3 skill reworks before a new skill. And skill reworks are a very high priority compared to existing skills in game. So I was pleased to hear about that. How about you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I think it's even I think that applies to every aspect of the game, especially we'll talk about here in a second, quests. You know, everybody likes to see old quests tied up before they start releasing new lines. So I think this is, at least 1 to 3 skill reworks. And whether or not that's a huge rework, like mining and smithing, but I think that's kind of unrealistic in terms of expecting a rework between new skills. I think something as small as the runecrafting update, where it just sort of updates the way you train, I think that is more important than just releasing this huge hunk of new content before you can sort of refine what you already got.
Yeah. And, you know, also with this came up the construction rework, and they said, you know, this will cost Jagex a lot. They want to do it in the next 5 years. Mod Doctor's prototype of being able to move stuff around the room and rotate it freely is still going to pave the path for it. But along with this, they also want to look at ways of actually making construction viable again and giving people reasons to go to the POH. So, I think we all agree that that's needed for construction. And then they just briefly touched on other skills that could be reworked, specifically agility, crafting, fire making, just to name a few. Of these, I would probably opt for crafting. How about you?
I think in terms of rework, I think fire making is pretty much the sore thumb here that sticks out, just for the sole purpose of, I just like to see more, I guess, utility with it. I know agility has a lot of utility in terms of, you know, shortcuts and whatnot. I mean, it's not to say that crafting doesn't need anything. I would just like to see something done with fire making, because it's always sort of seemed like, hey, let's throw this in so we can do something with wood cutting or something like that. So, it, you know, be neat to see maybe you can burn stuff you fletch or something instead of, you know, just alking it or selling it or something. Again, it could just be something very little to sort of fine tune the skill that brings back demand for logs or brings back, you know, the supply and demand for that whole ecosystem. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about it, crafting is already kind of balanced in terms of levels. You need 80 crafting to craft a level 60 or 70, or is it 60? Level 60 dragon hide. So, I mean, it's not as extreme as smithing, right, but it's there. Agility, I rarely run out of run energy unless I'm completely weighed down. I don't know about you. So that skill might be interesting to make into more one of these cross support training skills. So, okay. And then came up the talk of a new skill, which, you know, everyone feels either good or bad about, depending on skills, because, you know, they said that divination felt really linear. So as a result, they're not too pleased with the way that turned out. But as a result, after Slayer, Dungeoneering is everyone's second most favorite skill in game as a result of that.
That's very odd.
Yeah, well, I think I can see it, because it's very unique. Just like Slayer is very unique. And we talked about this when Metaphos came out, that Dungeoneering, you know, was truly groundbreaking when it arrived. So, but they always talk about what they can add to the game for new skills. Sailing's been talked about, but a question for that is, how would it interact with the Ark and player-owned ports? So, of course it's there. Sailing, which started out as a joke, but that's just an example. Other options that have been talked about, including necromancy, which would, of course, including raising armies, and maybe, just maybe, raising Guthics from the dead somehow. But I don't know if that was a half joke or not, but that'd be very interesting. Another kind of support skill that was briefly mentioned was archaeology. Examples they gave was perhaps uncovering an ancient agility course or an ancient altar. I think an archaeology skill would be really fun.
Yeah, out of all the new skill ideas that have sort of been pitched, that one really has piqued my interest. Just going backward, speaking of sailing and necromancy, sailing, I honestly think, pun intended here, they missed the boat on that, because I think that the Ark and ports pretty much could have been a sailing skill. And I believe we've talked about you're it before, right? How they could have just tacked on experience drops to a skill when your boats came back in ports and, you know, discovering new islands and whatnot. That could have been very easy. So I think it would be very, very, very redundant for them to try to incorporate sailing as a skill. In terms of necromancy, I think that is a little too close to magic. And I think at best, it would be just a new spell book with a bunch of new spells. I don't
Better yet, rework summoning.
Right. And that's another thing. It's between magic and summoning. And I think it could be incorporated to both and be a, you know, a healthy supplement to both skills rather than creating its own skill and just further sort of diluting the entire skill itself, because then you don't want to be trapped in something where you don't have enough content to release into a skill for it to seem whole. And we just saw that was just completed with invention. So yeah. I think that's my opinion on those two. So
I think you hit the nail on the head. Now, when it comes to what kind of skills players want, the survey said that roughly 30% each wanted something either completely new or a support or cross-skilling kind of skill. So something completely new, what comes to mind with that is Dungeoneering, whereas a support or cross-skilling kind of skill is invention. So mm-hmm. when they look at adding a new skill into game, that's kind of the direction they're probably going to go in. I think that would be good. Obviously, I think the support and cross-skilling are going to have the best following and perhaps the best traction once they launch. Because if you try something completely new, there's always the risk that it could flop over and the players might not completely like it if it's not a hit like Dungeoneering was. So, and I'm saying that from a general community perspective because, you know, I'm not a fan of Dungeoneering.
Yeah.
So. Slayer, of course, was a favorite skill by a long shot in the survey, and as I mentioned, Dungeoneering came in a close second. And Dungeoneering is, quote, interesting to mod Timbo, because in 2010 it shook the game. It was, like, unlike anything else that was released. And, you know, we touched on this when we were talking about Menaphos, and that, you know, if you look at seismic shifts in game, you have Prif, you have, of course, before that, EOC. But before that, you had Dungeoneering, because it hadn't been done like that before. And this is definitely something they're going to consider with new skills going forward. So who knows what we might get surprised with. They also talked about a unique term they use for skilling, crinkliness. That's a pretty unique term.
Crinkliness, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see where they're going with this, and it's an interesting word, but I think it fits what they were describing it as.
Yeah, so basically the example for this is woodcutting. They feel woodcutting does this really well. You can go elsewhere in the world to do something, and it should be included more in skills that are in-game. So the example of this is you unlock maple logs at level 45, but it might not be optimal to cut maple logs at 45 because my XP rate might be slower. Mm-hmm. Or there's ivy, for example, or elder trees. So it's about going into different areas of the game and not necessarily, you know, in a linear fashion like divination does, but just general areas that can be focused on. So I like that. I like that. That's one of the things that I enjoy about woodcutting. And I think you could call the same thing for farming as well. Farming is a crinkly skill based on this definition.
Right. And I think it's nice because the skills that they mentioned here, obviously woodcutting, that's been a core skill literally since the inception of RuneScape. So it was sort of in the core of the game, and they were able to sort of build upon that and keep it that way. So it's they have the ability to have this mindset with that skill. So it's just a matter of sort of incorporating that into a new skill, and I think it would be it would show a lot of promise. Really, with the way they've, you know, been coming out with skills, and if they can sort of add that sort of, you know, back to their roots fashion to that
there
skill, I think that would be awesome. So.
So the next topic was key milestones, and examples of this include nature runes, terror birds, and pack yaks, other beast of burdens, as well as 92 and 95 prayer for soul split and turmoil, those curses, of course. They want this kind of feeling to come to other skills in game, because if they don't, come to this skill and come to other skills in game. It just kind of feels like you're training the skills for no purpose. And that's how I felt for a long time about skills in game. It's like, if there's nothing I can gain out of it by raising it to a high level, why should I, you know, go through that achievement of getting
invest the money or time or
exactly. And then they had a neat little comparison graphic here of skills that have this and skills that don't in game. Here's what they said with this. Key examples right now of skills that do have this are Herb Lore with overloads, Prayer we talked about, Summoning Beast of Burdens, Slayer key item drops, Abyssal Whip, and so on and so forth. Runecrafting multiple runes, and of course the different runes, so there's that. And then of course the most recent is Invention with Machines and Augmentation. And then that, of course, leaves all the other skills in game that do not have something like this, which, in case you're just wanting the full list of that, that is mining, agility, smithing, fishing, thieving, cooking, crafting, fire making, fletching, woodcutting, farming, construction, hunter, dungeoneering, and divination.
Yeah, so. I think this ties in very well to sort of the in-game content that, you know, we spoke of you know, a few sections back. With every skill is going to have their overloads. It's clearly they have that outlined. So I think this ties in almost, you know, direct correlation with that. So, you know, sort of make these milestones the in-game content because, you know, obviously the double nature runes, 92, 95 prayer and pack yaks especially, that's sort of at the, you know, the mid to late 90s of the skill. And that is pretty much the in-game of that skill. So if they can sort of bring that up, as well as sort of have that overload feel to where it would be more advantageous for me to have that than to buy it. And that is, you know, sort of within those milestones, make them untradeable or make them have better stats if you make them type deal. So
absolutely. And like you said, these give reason to train skills. And that's precisely what they're going for with this. All right. So the next thing that they wanted to do with skilling is bring back the sense of achievement. Examples they gave are remembering where you were and what you were doing, what the game was like when you completed a key milestone. Like, for example, I'm sure you remember when you got 91 runecrafting or 99 runecrafting the first time.
Yep.
So that's what they want to do. They want to, you know, get back to the stage where people would have parties, people would ask to see emotes, people would have a sense of accomplishment about skills. Like, I remember my 99 farming, and that was great. And that was a huge accomplishment back then.
You know, I still have a, you know, folder full of, you know, screenshots, and I would have all these screenshots, and I would have all these, you know, get-togethers, and hey, you know, I'm 99 smithing, and everybody came, and then we sort of paraded around to get, you know, get the cape and that sort of thing. And then, you know, later in my RS career, it sort of was just like, oh, you know, I got 99, okay, move on to the next thing. It really wasn't that big of a deal. It was just kind of ticking it off the list.
Definitely.
So it would definitely be nice to see that sort of sense of community sort of come back and, you know, actually celebrate some of those achievements. So,
and you know, they want to do this not only because it's good for the skills, but they also want to create a greater sense of community involvement in the game, which I think is good because you can't count the number of times someone has talked about XP waste, right?
to a
community function. So that's good.
Yep.
Another example with this is that combat has the whole spectrum of rewards from common drops to boss drops to the grand prize of Hazelmere's ring and boss pets at the end of the day. They want that in skilling. And that's part of what they're going to do to bring back achievements and the sense of accomplishment with skilling is fill in that gap of things you can get aside from, you know, just standard resources, standard XP, and you ultimately end up with something that you can be proud of. And they also want to make skilling worthwhile again for making money, which, you know, this talk here, as it started to sum up and going towards this, you know, second last point, it kind of felt as though that, you know, it was a great feeling for me because we've been talking about this for so long and it's nice to finally have this realized by someone at Dragex.
Right.
So I was very pleased about that, and we'll just have to wait and see what materializes out of all this. And the example they gave right now is there are ways of making money with skilling, like divination, for example, but there should be specific ways of making money with most of the skills in game, to the point where you can say, I'm going to get on today and I want to train this skill, and oh, we're going to make some money with it. So this goes kind of within the spectrum of what we were talking about before, where there's going to be choice whether you want, you know, laid back training, or you want to just, you know, have a very high XP, high intensity session, or you want to earn some GP along the way. Yeah, so that's exactly what they're aiming for with this. And, you know, I honestly couldn't feel better about this. And I feel that this is a good way to be progressing, because like we talked about earlier, you don't need a series of mining and smithing reworks to make this happen. This could be done in other skills. And we talked about runecrafting, how runecrafting is a great example. So, fingers crossed on this. I'm going to go forward with a good level of optimism on this. So,
I agree. I think that's they're on the right track, and I would, you know, I'd love to see that sort of come back into the golden age of the RuneScape economy in terms of, you know, skiller sort of being at the heart of that.
Yeah. And what's more is if you could make it link with combat, I think you would have something really great, and you would truly be shaping this game up to be like the MMO that it is and can become in the future. So,
right, because, you know, have the, you know, the skillers provide the PVMers with what they need, so that creates the demand there, and then with the money we make from the skillers, then we basically buy back the equipment that they get as drops. So I think that should come full circle and sort of be equaled out, and I think that would be awesome for the economy as a whole.
Yeah. And, you know, all it starts, it just starts with one idea. And one of these ideas comes into game and it sparks, and that's the rebirth of a skill. So I can't wait to see what's on the way for this. And in some ways, this talk was more exciting to me than the RuneScape Reveals talk because of these points.
Yeah.
So very pleased. Next up, 120 skills. They said, quote, 120 Slayer didn't go down very well. So
is that so?
And that's a huge admission from Jagex. And
yeah, no, I major props for that.
Totally.
I think we've all are tired of them.
Condemn?
Yeah.
Command.
I think we're all tired of, you know, Jagex sort of, you know, ignoring the dumpster fire behind him, you know, trying to preach to us that everything's great and moving forward and everything went fine. And, you know, that's definitely not the way to move forward, because the first step to fixing a problem is realizing there's a problem. So they realize there's a problem, so let's not do
it again. And this inspires confidence as well.
Right.
Because, yes, you made a mistake, and identifying that mistake is good. 120 Slayer didn't go down very well, but saying what can be done better next time and leading on a solution to that problem is what truly takes leadership to the next level. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still questions about whether or not these kind of leadership issues are going to crop up when it comes to polling. But I think if they apply these outlines of what they got right now, it won't turn out too badly if this doctrine is, of course, followed.
Right.
They said the vast majority of 99 to 120 wasn't rewarding. It wasn't different from 1 to 99, and it was too burdensome for people, which, you know, is true. I mean, you look at the number of people who were working on Slayer feverishly after Metaphos came out, and it was just insane to see people doing this for, you know, no real benefit.
Right.
And with this, 45% of people say that a skill going to 120 should depend on what skill it is, but overall, 35% of the people who voted in the survey want 120 skills. So when you add these up, there's around 80% who are either in favor of skills going to 120, certain skills, or at least willing to entertain the idea depending on the skill.
Right. And I think the mistake here was that Jagex did not really evaluate the Slayer skill properly. I think their main motivation behind 120 Slayer was, oh, hey, this is the, you know, the most popular skill by a long shot. Let's make it 120. Everybody will love it, and we'll throw some new monsters in it. And with what we saw, there was basically two types of monsters, all of which were just reskinned and, you know, had some particle effects on them, and the drops were basically very underwhelming. So yeah. It really, there was no content to fill that 99 to 120 gap.
And you know, they kind of shot themselves in the foot with this mm-hmm. because at its core, Slayer is a very simple skill. You get assigned a list of things to do, you kill them, you go back. Mm-hmm. So
I still argue the point, other than the Slayer Codex, I still think the four monsters that were released with Raptor was more content than from 99 to 120, just in terms of playability and monsters, because there really were no mechanics for Corrupted Creatures or Soul Devourers. It was just each little thing had their own, I guess if you want to call it a special attack, but nothing like Ripper Demons or the Camel Warriors and whatnot. So I just think it really wasn't thought through. I think they just kind of, you know, saw an opportunity that wasn't really developed. And, you know, Slayer's most popular skill, let's make it go to 120, and then let's just kind of fill in the rest. And that's not really how it should
right.
be approached.
And, you know, I was going to say they shot themselves in the foot because you look at Slayer, it's a very simple skill on the forefront. So how do you take mm-hmm. this to 120, make it innovative, and take it to the next level? Well, that's a very hard thing to do, and it's a very hard thing to implement effectively. So there's that issue. But remember, we had the four Slayer creatures come out: Wyverns, Camel Warriors, Ripper Demons, and Mammoths back in November of 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those were essentially mini bosses. Then you had Adamant and Rune Dragons, which could also be thought of effectively as mini bosses, but not to the level as those ones, because they also had their mechanics with them. Mm-hmm. So in a way, those six creatures right there should probably have been the first batch of post-99 Slayer creatures, in that they were effectively mini bosses.
Right. I agree.
And you know, other things they could have done, they could have talked, maybe, I don't know, I'm not a Slayer, but I'm sure there's lots of people out there who are Slayers. Maybe tie the Reaper tasks into it. I don't know, but, mm-hmm. Like, you see how you take such a simple skill, take it to 120, and it's not diverse enough. And you know, it was a grand idea to do it, and it's going to be filled out eventually. They said it just didn't go over very well, and that's something that they of course we're talking about here, because they don't want to do this again. They don't want to have this problem again. And through this, they're going to make sure that the skill feels like it changes when it's going past 99, and it provides different ways of training than there was in 1 to 99. And as with other things, they want ideas for what skill should be taken to 120. So,
yeah, I mean, ever since 120 Slayer was released, and I'll try to make this quick, I realized how sort of underwhelming it was. You know, it really didn't have much content between 99 and 120. I think they had the right idea with the Slayer Codex and sort of becoming a Slayer Master, but they really didn't develop on that. But I've kind of like gone back to my own drawing board with how they could sort of evolve on that, and that is incorporate the Shattered Worlds type mechanic to it. With when you get a task, have chances to get the modifiers, whether it be in, you know, enhanced gold on a task, or you know, you have debuffs or buffs, and you know, experience reflects that. And I think that can be developed on, but that's just sort of my what I was thinking. And then in terms of being a Slayer Master, you could have a mechanic similar to Meg in Ports, where you would have NPCs come up to you. You could see their stats.
That was
stats
actually talked about in the Q&A for this talk.
Oh, okay.
Someone asked about it. Still
sort of see their stats, or, you know, their preferences, and you can sort of assign them. You maybe have a list of five different tasks you can assign them, and, you know, based on their quote-unquote credentials, you know, you can get a chunk of XP, you know, be it a daily or a weekly thing. You know, every day you can assign three tasks to people, and you know, that sort of evolves out of the whole sunken pyramid idea. And you know, you can't really access those buffs and debuffs for a task for yourself until you get a certain amount of entries in your codex. And then likewise, you know, you can't start assigning NPCs tasks until you've reached a milestone in the codex as well. So I think the foundation is there. I think they just need to sort of keep going. And I think it would actually be really cool in a new addition to just, hey, kill this. Okay, kill that. Okay, kill this. So anyway, that's my two cents.
I'm going to take it one step further as soon as you mentioned Shattered Worlds. and say that, you know, take tasks like the elite tasks like Jad and whatnot, and rather than just assigning those randomly, post 120 have a series of Slayer quests or Slayer instances that you do. Not necessarily quests in the standard sense that we have, but in the Shattered World sense, where, you know, you're gonna go to your Slayer Master, you're gonna talk to her, and you're gonna have the option, do I want to do a 30-minute, a 60-minute, or a 2-hour one of these slog fests? And what you're going to effectively do is you're going to run through this dynamically generated encounter. It's going to show random Slayer creatures along the way, and it's going to test you, and it's going to see if you can truly slay everything that's been in game so far.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that there's so
basically
much potential
take the
there.
Shattered Worlds idea and apply it to Slayer.
Yeah, which is kind of what they tried to do in terms of rewards, but it just wasn't quite there. But I think there's so much potential with this. They just need to sort of cook it a little bit longer. So,
yeah. Any ideas for where other skills can go past 120? Us?
I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, the mining and smithing, I think, would be appropriate in terms of just how much gear and how much combat equipment is in game. I think that would be justified for both of those to go to 120. As far as, you know, thieving or whatnot, nothing off the top of my head, mostly because I really haven't, it really hasn't been this sort of glaring issue for me like Slayer was. You know, this is a, you know, a huge update. And like I said, you know, I logged in the first day and sort of the prior or the following 3 months, and it was just so underwhelming because there was basically two new Slayer creatures for 21 new levels, and it increasingly just wasn't scaling properly. So
okay, I'm gonna say summoning. I'm gonna say do a summoning rework.
Yeah,
take summoning to 120.
I could see that,
and keep the pouch mechanic for 1 to 99, but add in some kind of new summoning features that can be useful in combat and out of combat post level 99.
I think that's where a bulk of the necromancy idea could come in.
Now, though I guess you would have the unfortunate side effect of this that you would also raise the combat level in game if you did that.
Yeah. But I wouldn't
it only bring up to 140 or 141 based on the way the numbers go. So I mean,
yeah, I mean 140 is a nice, I mean, relatively nice, even number, but yeah. No, I think there's definitely some potential there as well. No, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It would come up to 140.
Cause there's 8 summoning per.
Yeah.
Combat,
8 summoning per. And I think we end right now at 138.25, if I recall, max.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
Now, anyways, they also, showed a video of a very early concept that they're working on. It's a lean forward fishing game or mini game. It essentially is whack-a-mole. So each time you successfully click on a fishing spot, you get a stacking bonus for however long you can stay engaged, and this increases the XP that you get. They say this would make the fishing skill more diverse, and it's ultimately an early prototype of something that could come into game. And there'll be other options out there for people who don't want to take the lean forward approach with this game. So, yeah, it's kind of like whack-a-mole. That's the first thing that came to mind. So. then we had the Q&A session here from this, and there are a couple of good questions that we'll just go through here. So would 120 skills and skill reworks be combined? And, you know, they say it depends on player feedback. It depends on the skill. They could be separate. It all depends on the skill and what players say. So that's the kind of sense that we're getting with this. Social skilling activities. What can friends do to skill together? It feels like getting together is either XP waste or there should be some sort of combat being done. They say in the next 5 years, they want to end the segregation of players, and that should stop. So there's no reason why combat people should feel the need to separate from skillers as well as high and mid-level skillers as well. So they also admitted that doing instances was a mistake. So the Uncharted Islands, because you sent someone to an Ark Island for, you know, 2 hours and they disappear, right? So,
right. Yeah.
They don't want to do that again. Construction, if the rework comes, yes. They're going to give reasons to go to the POH. They're going to add more skills to it. As you all know, construction is a very important point for us here. So I was glad that was asked. Will we be moving away from stealing other people's skilling spots? The examples, of course, come to Chinchampas and whatnot as well. Jagex wants players to be able to enjoy the game without hurting someone else. So, yes, new skill methods will take that into account. I think that's good. Like, there won't be any more of that old-fashioned kind of power mining problems and whatnot.
So. Exactly.
Now, here's the kicker that the PVM folks will not like. They said, you know, you go to next Angel of Death for magic logs versus actually cutting magic logs. There's no reason why. Now, this is to the answer part. There's no reason why you should get more drops from a boss creature than actually cutting them in the world. So the plan has always been to remove skilling drops from PVM. It's definitely something that they want to do. How and when this happens, though, is a problem. So it's a question of, you know, how not to upset the balance that's in game right now and upset the community. So emphasis on how and when.
Right.
New drop tables will have very few resources on them. So, and, you know, I feel like we've been hammering this point home for years. And once again, another admission by Jagex that that's the case. So I guess maybe we can start hammering or stop hammering this home then.
Well, persistence is key, so we'll just have to do what we can.
And finally, is there anything more that's going to be done with elite skills? We were just talking about this with the invention update, weren't we?
Yes. Yep.
So, what was our discussion that invention didn't feel like an elite skill to begin with, but it kind of does now, right?
Yeah, it filled out, I think, a little too slow, but it filled out nonetheless. But again, I think there needs to be some more reworks, and I think they sort of need to reevaluate going about making an elite skill. Make sure that upon release, it is basically fully implemented and it feels like an elite skill. I think it's counterintuitive to release basically a shell just to have, or just to say they released one, and then fill it out over the next 18 months. I don't really think that's the way to go about it. So,
And, you know, the answer to this was the next skill will likely not be an elite skill. There are positives and negatives to making an elite skill. So what this tells me is there won't be any elite skills in the next 5 years.
Well, I mean, if that's what it takes to get everything else basically up to par, that's a sacrifice I think most of us are willing to make. So.
Yeah. Because let's be real here, you need to ensure that the next skill that comes into game is going to interact nicely. And I don't think it makes sense at this point to do another elite skill until the rest of the skills have been rebalanced.
So. Right. Until the rest of the skills are basically made worth training, because why would you want to support something that really has no use? So I think it's really, you got to start back to your roots. So again, you know.
All right, everyone, there's our segment on RuneScape skilling and what's going to be happening in the next 5 years of RuneScape skilling if things go to plan, as outlined by mods Timbo and mod Ryan. But RuneFest is now over, and we're preparing for next year's already, I'd imagine. And sitting in to join me for just a couple of little questions at the end of what can only be described probably as one of the most hectic days you've ever experienced RuneScape-wise is Sirion. Welcome.
Hi, Shane. How are you doing?
Good, good. It's, you know, covering this remotely is always a rush, and this year it's been even more of a rush than previous years because of what was talked about and the sheer magnitude of things in the RS skilling section and in general the RS reveals. But I figure we'd just sit down with you and ask some questions about what your experiences were at RuneFest, because this is the first time you've been able to go and have gone. So certainly a new experience for you. So if you don't mind that, we'll just get started with some of these.
Sure.
So Clan Quest was at the RuneScape Reveals section, and I think you guys had a very, very large contingent there from what I saw.
I think most of, like, so there were about 15 plus people. So the point is, we recruited a bunch of people during the day, so I'm not entirely sure what numbers I should be having here, but we had 15 plus people definitely there. And all of us were at the RuneScape Reveals talk, I think. So yeah. We had seats, second, third row, smack bam in the center. So
You guys were on B-roll when the talk was waiting to start. They had a perfect shot of the third row with you on one side and Draz on the other side and two mm-hmm. in between you guys. So if you guys were watching the stream, you would have seen that. But speaking of Arius reveals in general, do you think the upcoming release strategy of Back to Our Roots and only showcasing content under development at RS Reveals is going to restore Jagex's trust in the skeptical community, let's just say?
I mean, it makes the talk feel a lot more concrete.
Right.
So we have had a couple of talks in the past few years at RuneFest where they announced like maybe 10 different things, and in the end only 5 of them ended up in the game.
Yeah, so I think it was even fewer last year.
Like the whole reveals talk was more of a vision talk instead of this is what we're actually going to do. I don't mind the vision talk myself. I mean, I love talking about game vision, but it was presented as reveals, and this year they make it all very concrete. Like, this is things we're going to do. For players, that's like for an event like this, that's probably what players are looking for. If you want to do a vision thing, you get more like a skilling talk. We're like, this is how we see skilling in 5 years. But if you talk about in 5 years, you know, things might change.
Oh, yeah.
So in that way,
lots of change in 5 years.
So in this way, we're getting sort of less stuff because we only get stuff that is actively in the pipeline, which is sad because who doesn't want these huge reveals of things they're going to do in 2018? But in the end, this is all they can really tell us without sort of becoming a bit too hand-wavy about what they're going to do. Personally, I wouldn't mind. I think a couple of years ago they had separate talks about like RuneScape updates in next year and sort of RuneScape in the future.
Yeah,
like,
I think in 2015 they had a RuneScape 2020 talk.
And I would love something like that. I think that worked really well. I think it is a great way for the mods to show what they think. But between all the old school content and the tournament and the Q&A, there's just not enough room for that anymore. So I don't know. I hope to see it as maybe like a second stage event next year. But I guess like on the reveals part, that's probably a better strategy because the way it's presented, it's sort of they're locked into it.
Right. Everything in development. And, you know, anytime you have something that is that far into development, it's going to be very expensive and it's hard to abort something like that. So unless there's mm-hmm. a major showstopper, we're going to see these things on time. So,
I mean, it was kind of a surprise. They were like, okay, this is this huge update. Also, you'll see it next week.
That was pretty big, wasn't it? And
it was pretty big. And
that was the only PVM content in RS Reveals.
Sorry, I lost track. It might very well have been, but
it's Dimension of the Damned, but still.
And the way they're going at it is interesting. They're adding mechanics. It's not the Slayer update from, what is it, 2 years ago now. It's not the Netflix and kill monsters. It's like there's tangible content around the combat. There's something farming related is what I heard.
Yeah, so, the farming and hunter D&D.
Like the entire concept, there's lore around it. The boss sounds interesting. And seriously, if I say a boss sounds interesting, me, of all people, you know you're doing something right.
Right, and that's the exact same sentiment that I got as well from this talk. So,
so from what it looks right now, they're doing something right with that update. And, you know, I don't have a very high Slayer level. I don't think I can do the Slayer level monsters. But
104, 106, and 108.
Yeah, and 102, I think, if I remember correctly. So, but this might be Well, that's big. I probably not going to be a reason for me to pursue Slayer actively.
Right.
But it might be a reason for me to start training Slayer again.
Absolutely. All right. So, you know, aside from getting to meet all the great people, the, you know, the 16 plus clan questers that were there and all the J mods, what would you say your favorite part of RuneFest was?
Ooh, that's a tough one. My favorite part was meeting all the great people. No doubt about it. We had lots of fun together. I got to talk to some J-Mods. It's just coming up to Motstu asking for like one of the signatures in the boxes on your Find the J-Mod Hunter sheet. And Motstu just asking you, what's your favorite quest line that you want to see continued?
Nice.
I made a boo-boo. I set the gnome series, which I really want to see continued.
You know what the my answer would be for that, right?
But then we realized Elemental Workshop.
There you go.
Is what we wanted. So Draz and me just made sure that he knew that. But then he was like, because I was talking about the gnome series. He was like, that's interesting. What would you want of that series? I was like, I don't know. He was like, please come back to me. I didn't, still don't know the answer, except for Elemental Workshop is better. That was amazing. Just, I felt heard. I understand that you'll see lots of people that day, and maybe not every single answer will be done, but he said, like, I really care about your answers. I want to know this stuff. Please tell me about this. So the fact that there's actual direct interaction between players and mods, that is, I feel less skewed as well than on the forums, because the forums is a specific audience. RuneFest is also a specific audience, but it's more across different
disciplines, and you can't get shouted down at RuneFest.
Correct. It's very one-on-one, and that felt amazing. Another thing I really, really liked was part of the lore talk where
we haven't discussed that yet on update. That'll be next week. So
I'm not allowed to say it.
Oh, you can say it.
I really love the part where they talked about the RuneScape cosmology. I won't say too much about it, but they spent a lot of attention on that, and it makes sense. It's super interesting. And it might have to do something with Elemental Workshop.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely look forward to that. And I mean, it was just purely a matter of time for this podcast. Otherwise, we would have gotten to all of that.
It's literally a lore marathon. The Q&A goes on forever. I think we're looking at 2 hours of material there. Some really good Brassica Prime related questions.
Of course.
Yeah, you should definitely tune in for that next week.
All right, so the RuneScape skilling talk also happened, and with this they outlined the 5-year plan for skilling and bringing it up to a level where it's on par with combat. And, you know, this includes a myriad of things for skilling, including but not limited to diversification of skilling endgame content, skill reworks and potentially a new skill, adding key milestones, bringing back achievements, and possibly adding 120s to skills. So with that being said, this is much of what we've been talking about for years on this podcast, bringing skilling up, giving skilling a place in RuneScape that is on par with combat. So it also had a large focus in the RuneScape reveal segment for the next 6 months, specifically with the fishing update, for example. Lots of group activity working together. So do you think that, you know, given we've been talking about it for so long and we saw a dedicated talk to it and it's creeping into RuneScape reveals, do you think that this is mission accomplished for skills if this strategy gets carried forward?
I mean, this is just talk right now. I don't want to be pessimistic,
right,
but it's just talk right now. I think the mission doesn't end until it's in
until
the game.
You have it in your hands, right. Okay.
Correct. Progress on the mission? Definitely. This is a huge milestone.
I think this very fact it's been identified and marked as a priority for skilling development is good.
Yeah, and just the fact that they're going to make it more sociable. They're going to make it more fun. This goes... This probably goes against the nature of quite a few people with like the whole XP rate stuff, but adding the fun factor back into skills, that's I think it's going to make a huge difference. And if they play this right, if they do this right, then they're going to set off against all the MMOs out there right now. And if they keep on top of like the technical challenges and keeping it all technically up to date and looking fancy and sounding good and whatever, like if they can remain competitive, but also get those game mechanics nailed down really, really well, they're going to really set off against the other MMOs. And we might be looking at a complete revival of people coming into the game, because like this is
and
so
when you
unique.
Factor that in with mobile, you might have a very good point right there, very strong point.
Yeah, so you know, it's so hard being super optimistic after RuneFest, especially because like a 5-year plan, that's a long
really
time.
Long term,
that's a really long time, especially in the game development world. That's a really, really long time. But the signals so far are good. We're gonna see it as a philosophy in future updates, and I think that's what counts.
Yeah, and the current updates going forward with scaling, that's good.
Yeah, because the current game is not a bad game. It's not. I mean, I wouldn't be playing it if it was a bad game. I think none of us would.
Yeah, that's right.
But this was a philosophy change that needed to be made, and now it has been made. They're going to make updates in general more sociable and better for group content, and that's what we have been asking for. That's definitely what I have been asking for ever since I came on the podcast for the first time, pretty sure. So, you know, they tick the boxes. Now they just have to do it.
Make it so. All right, so speaking of technical updates, mobile was on showcase at RuneFest. They had their own devices set up where you could play old school or RuneScape 3. Mm-hmm. Did you give it a go? And what did you think?
I gave it a go. I remain skeptical, I have to say. I mean, we all know the interface. Like, that's not
going to
work.
That's going to be a huge problem to overcome.
So I got to try it on a phone. It was exactly the same size as my phone. I didn't look up what phone it was, to be honest. How big is my phone? I think it's like 5.5 inch. So like just a normal size phone that you see these days. And the interface is tiny.
I think that's what we first talked about when we heard Aris Mobile was going to be a thing. Tiny checkboxes and whatnot.
So I went in the game. I did my daily mining challenge. I picked up my ticket for the raffle. I did my treasure hunter. I ran around a bit just to get a feel for it. You know, it works. And you know what? It runs smooth. And that's what surprised me most.
That's really good.
I had it running on what they had it set it to. I think medium graphics. There was no stutter at all. It was smooth end to end. And that's what surprised me. Saffron was sat across me, had it run at high detail. Same story. He was doing RuneSpan at high detail.
Wow.
No stutter at all. So technically, this is fine. The phones were getting a bit warm, but they had been running the game all day. So,
right, and that's to be expected with any high-profile actual game, I think.
Yeah,
run
modern. I mean, it is, like, technically, it feels very, very solid, and that was the most surprising thing of all, I think, of this early of a... It's a really early version, of course.
Right, so that's going to suggest that a large portion of the work going forward will be interface-related-wise then, and
making sure it's easy to use. They got the game to run, and surprisingly well as well. I mean, I have trouble running it on my MacBook sometimes, and on the phone it just works. I mean...
There's something for you. The day RuneScape runs better on a phone than a Mac laptop.
They set up the phones, right? It were their phones. There was one model of phone there. It was all pre-installed. So it's not going to run this move on every single device. It's probably optimized for this specific device as well. But still, it's RuneScape running on a mobile CPU. That's impressive. The game is not light. The game is pretty graphically intense at times.
Oh yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, that was great. Like the actual interface, it's oh my gosh.
That's probably hard, right?
That was a struggle. Yeah. Like closing the bank by hitting the X button took me like 3 times every single time. And at some point, like you sort of get a feel for it and you get most of the things right. You have to really get used to it. Most of the things I got right. But then you get the interface and the interface is not made for it. And then you try to type a chat message.
Ooh.
Well, first of all, I can't hit the quick chat icon because that's too tiny. And they don't really have a good way to integrate the keyboard yet. So like you have to do like a weird tap. And the keyboard takes up half the screen. You can't even see what you're saying. So like that's definitely something they have to work on. And like I gave them some feedback. I said they need to work on the quick chat thing because that's going to be...
That's going to be used a lot in mobile, I think.
Like, everybody can swipe on, like, a keyboard. But to be honest, swipe on a keyboard while in portrait mode? Is it? No, landscape mode? All the way around? I never do that because the keyboard is too big. And it takes up half the screen anyway. I don't want my keyboard to take up half my screen.
Right, and if you've got a 5-inch phone, that's going to be a task.
That's going to be, like, halfway, yeah. So... You know, they have lots of things, but they had like images, concept images of the special interface lying there. It could work. I'm not saying it will, but I'm slightly less skeptical than I was before RuneFest.
Well, that's good. And you know, they're going to need a lot of help with this and a lot of help where people actually contribute to providing feedback. We don't, you know, we always say we don't need another evolution of combat beta. And, you know, when you're changing an interface for a game to work on mobile, you definitely want something that's going to be taking feedback from everyone who is involved in it. So we'll be interesting to see their requirements on that phase. So that's an excellent progress report. Thank you.
No problem.
So, now, this last one's kind of a general one. What do you think would happen if you took the general atmosphere that you had there, upbeat, optimistic, and applied this to the community at large? What do you think would happen?
This is a really, really hard question. Like I said, the one-on-one experience you get with JMods, it's not entirely one-on-one. I mean, there's a group of people around you. And, like, sometimes conversations end up in groups. That's fine. But, like, the more direct contact you have, you can't really do that. You can't really emulate it online. And as I said earlier, the distribution of people online is different as well, I think, as the people down here.
Yes, definitely.
Like, not everybody would pay, what was it, 100 quid to go to an event just because they played a game. No, these people are all passionate about it. So, you know, the atmosphere is very different. There's also no internet trolls around.
That's good.
If I can, because anyone, I mean, maybe
did anyone
you know,
get
I mean,
attacked
I mean,
at the
blast, to be honest. But,
last year, someone got attacked at the night before party.
Yeah, no, we didn't have any of that this year. I think I don't know. I might have left before that, but yeah, no, I think. If the online community was exactly like RuneFest, it would be much better. Is it possible? I don't know. I feel it's something you can't emulate. I think if Jagex rethought how to talk to the community, right now you have the shithole that's Reddit, which is in a way also the way, which is a communication method towards Jagex. Which is problematic.
Right.
I think.
You would think there is a completely different event happening than the event that happened if you looked at what was happening on Reddit today.
I mean, of course.
Yeah.
Like, being at RuneFest is very, very different. Like, I'm trying to articulate it, and I can't. We have had clannies at RuneFest events for years now, and every year we ask them, how was it? Explain what it looks like and how it feels. And then you go yourself, and it's like, it's nothing like I expected. It's completely different. So that's sort of, it's really hard to articulate. And I think it's because of the more direct atmosphere and more, like, it, because you can't emulate
it. More dedicated fan base, too.
And, it, like, what surprised me was the sheer difference in people. Maybe this is my failing, but I came into the event with this guy in the basement stereotype of, like, at least half the attendees, right? And that's not true. It's not true at all. That's people of all ages, from quite young to quite old. Like, everything is in there. That surprised
me. That's the diverse RuneScape player base showing itself.
And that's a more honest cut from what you have on the forums. And Reddit and that kind of stuff. And the polls even. The polls are influenced by this stuff.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
How do you get this? It might be possible, but you have to completely change the way communication work. I think you have to go out in the game and talk to people.
That would.
But that's
sense.
Not doable. Because
no.
That takes a lot of time.
Time, man hours, finding people who are not AFK, you name it. So, well, I think that's a very good answer. And that's the sense that I got. And I wanted you to telegraph that to the listeners in a way, because, you know, it's almost, like I said, it's a tale of two different stories of what was happening. So, and I think if things go the way I'm predicting they'll go, that's something we'll look at in a few weeks' time, depending on it, but no promises on that. So, all right. Thank you, Sirion. Anything else before we go?
You haven't even asked me what my favorite reveal was.
Oh, what's your favorite reveal?
Skilling off hands.
Nice. We had a great discussion about those on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. I was just listening to that. I was like, the game mechanics in this. This is going to be awesome.
You can effectively now have dual wielding invention for skilling.
I don't even care about the whole dual wielding part. I care about the risk reward stuff they put in it. The alternative viable ways to train skilling. Like, there's no one best method. You get to choose. That's what I'm going to like.
That definitely is something. And that, you know, is something that lots of skills need in game. And if we can start bringing it to the game, then that is an outline of that exact skilling talk. And we're well on our way. So
awesome.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Sirion, for spending some time with us. Before we move on to RuneScape reveals, we're going to have a little bit of a chat with some VIP guests here on RSBNB Update. We'll let Sirion introduce them here.
Yeah, I'm here with Mark. And Mark, what is your favorite thing about RuneScape? And what's your favorite update you announced today?
My favorite thing about RuneScape is the players. I know that sounds cheesy, but genuinely, like, that's my favorite part. Like, they always keep me on my toes, and I never quite know what's going to be said next. So, easily the players. My favourite update that I talked about today was the Lost Grove Island. It's going to give us a new place to do some interesting shiny content. And like that, for me, the stuff I talked about today was just the beginning of that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for answering this question.
No worries.
I stole Mott Raven just after Lore Talk. So, Mott Raven, what's your favourite quest series? And which quest series would you like to be completed first?
Ooh. Well, my favourite quest series is the Penguin quest series, because I love the ridiculousness. It's that kind of silliness, daftness, pop culture references, and evil, you know, penguins want to take over the world obviously reach me on a very personal level. In terms of quest series that I would like, I mean, there's the obvious quest on its own that I won't go to that one because that's too obvious. I'd actually quite like to continue the Penguin series. I don't think the Penguin series should ever end. I don't think it's one of those quests that has a actual end point. It's one of those series where you can keep doing more. There's keep ways of doing things. So, I mean, if any of you watched the Games Jam thing a while back, I have an obvious direction that I want to take, which is Penguins in Space brackets the musical, which I want to convert in. I mean, it's pitched as a raid-ish, but I want to convert it into an actual, like, a quest series, or at least something with a heavier narrative. But I want to design it for multiple people to do at the same time. I want to play around. But, yeah, when that happens, we don't know.
All right, that sounds awesome. So, one more question. What's the truth about Vesica Prime, actually?
Yeah, well, now that there's not a bunch of people listening.
What's the truth?
He's the strongest NPC in the game, right?
I mean, he would certainly say he is.
And that's all that matters.
And he does have...
He wouldn't lie.
He does have the greatest voice actor.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that indicates some level of his power. Okay. I realise I made the same joke last year, but it's a good joke, and I'm repeating it.
I asked
him. I wouldn't say he's the strongest NPC. I would say he thinks he is, but he can't take on any of the big gods, at least not directly in a fight. He might confuse their bejesus out of them by them going... Because, I mean, you gods throw fireballs, and you'd go, I am now delicious, I'm a roasted cabbage. So there's not really... He's hard to defeat, but he's not exactly a threat, as we established with his world event, Cabbage Face Punt Bonanza with Marimbo, which is still one of my favourite, just... ridiculous moments.
As Braska said then, he wasn't treating it seriously. He was just trying to show that anybody who thought bananas to be more delicious than cabbage
was wrong and insane.
Yeah.
Good old Braska Brian.
And, you know, the cabbages that make up all of the universe do in fact account for the tastiness of the universe.
Yeah, Brassica Prime has a strong place in my heart, but he's a joke character, let's be fair. He's not the strongest NPC in the game, and he's never going to be vital to any major quest series, except unless we do a Marimbo Brassican quest series, which I kind of would like to do. Maybe kind of a buddy cop gone horribly wrong kind of thing is the way to do it, but we'll see.
Alright, thank you so much for your time.
Alrighty, folks, there you have it. Two nice little chats with Mod Mark and Mod Raven. Thank you very much, guys. And, of course, thank you to Sirion for getting this recording at RuneFest. So that takes us nicely then into the RuneScape Reveals segment of the show. And, you know, RuneScape Reveals in the past has been kind of iffy in terms of what comes out. But this year, every single update mentioned in the RuneScape Reveals talk is being worked on actively, slated to arrive within the next 6 months.
So, which I think is relatively short term in terms of what they've been speaking of with 5 years. So I think this is a nice time frame of something we can expect and put a timestamp on. So
yeah, and you know, 6 months puts them nicely on the pace to do something in May or June again of next year, where we see what the next 6 months are going to look like. So I think the 6 month cycle is going to work better than the long drawn out cycle that we saw at last year's RuneFest.
Indeed.
So without further ado, despite what some in the community might say, the Clue Scroll rework is on this list, and that includes the new Master Tier of Clue Scrolls, Second Age outfits, of course, when Zaros' Empire was at its strongest and Ceridoman was a major player, cosmetic overrides to set your sword on fire, all swords including offhands. I think that's interesting. I don't know.
I really like that.
The Ice Die will also be making its appearance, and will work on weapons, armor, and whatnot, and everything we've come to expect dies to work on. A Clue Scroll outfit that will help you solve puzzles that you encounter. So, I don't know. That's interesting. Maybe if you get the full set of outfit, you could have your knots half solved, or have your puzzle boxes half solved, or something
like that. Yeah, that would be extremely beneficial. That's awesome.
Yeah. They're also going to be adding a Clue Scroll drop logger to log all of the items you receive from Clue Scrolls. Improvements also including reward balancing to make them more valuable, worth your time more to do it, and of course the hidey holes to stash your equipment around for doing the medium and hard Clue Scrolls.
Yep.
And of course improved storing of multiple Clue Scrolls, but we've heard about all this before.
Yeah.
You know, and this was all voted on by the player, so I'd say this is fairly well under its path to development. So this was fun to hear, and I think everyone loves Clue Scrolls.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I don't know, most of you may or may not know, I've never been a huge Clue guy, but it always came back to the whole XP waste, but sort of bringing this, especially the, what am I looking for? The outfit, that's really cool. Sort of adding its own little self-sufficiency to it, as well as the stash locations, and improvements like, more valuable. It's actually worth taking an hour out of your, routine of whatever you're doing, whether it be slaying or skilling or whatnot, worth it to take an hour out of it to, maybe make a mil or so instead of, 200K or something. So that's really nice to see that's in the pipes.
They also talked about in this section, skilling offhands will be coming in the next 6 months. And no, this doesn't mean dual wielding pickaxes. The example they gave was that, you know, that would be a bit silly. But hey, RuneScape has already jumped the shark and put the shark head in game. So
yeah, there you go.
They
exactly.
could do that. But no, more skilling offhand items, kind of like the catalyst fragment from Sliske's yep. endgame.
That's and, exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, these are going to be called magical relics, and each of them are going to have a theme attached to them. Sacrifice, restoration, time, elemental, and destruction. Of course, time will be the one that improves the amount of XP and how quick you can train things. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this works.
Yeah, I think this is goes along very nicely with, you know, bringing skilling up to combat. Give us yeah. more skilling gear, you know, it just as we have, you know, bossing gear, let's have skilling gear, you know, offhands or, you know, stuff that enhances skilling and sort of just support the core of skilling rather than, okay, well, I got a pickaxe, I'm going to go do this rather than I'm going to go bossing. Okay, I have my spring cleaner, I have, you know, my auras, I have, you know, whatnot. It's just give more content for skillers to sort of function efficiently. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
And there's one more thing with this. Each of these will be augmentable with invention.
Which is also awesome.
And they'll be able to have perks. So just as we have dual-wield combat now, you're going to be able to have dual-wield skilling. So this is going to see invention XP from skilling go up.
Yes.
So that would be great. Also, coming this November is something called Novemberfest, the first annual RuneScape beer festival.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
Surprised it's taken them this long.
Yeah.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, and you know, this is in celebration of the 15 years since the first barbarian bar crawl.
I guess I can see that.
It's going to be a new bar crawl across the world. There's going to be a new seasonal game called Kegger, I believe it was called, which you'll be able to practice your bartending skills. And, you know, it's kind of like the beach. Every so often we're going to have a seasonal event in the Lumbridge Crater. So,
well, you know, and that sort of ties into what you were saying a few shows ago with the Great Gyllenhaal Run, sort of have that, you know, scavenger hunt type deal, not necessarily an achievement, but an event nonetheless to where, you know, you're going around across the map to the different areas and participating. So it's nice that it'll be a neat little seasonal gap between, the beach and Halloween. So.
Also, combat pets, those are still on track as voted for by the players. Not much to report on there. Now, here we get to the point where RSPNB update gets excited. And Clan Quest gets excited. And I get excited. And Earth gets excited. And Colton gets excited. Quests. Almost 60% of people wanted the fifth age storylines finished. Pirates and gnomes were the top two. And the pirate quest finality, Pieces of Hate, which will involve crazy puzzle solving, is coming later this year. They're also working on the Evil Dave quest, which is going to be arriving this year as well. So, I mean, the pirate quest goes way back to 2005, and it's just going to be so great to go in there, finish it, and see what's happening. I really have high hopes for this, and am eagerly awaiting it, so...
Yeah, as most of you probably know, I'm not the biggest quest guy, but I always love seeing them tie up, you know, the old loose ends. And I think that holds true for basically everybody. I just like seeing them finish up those fifth age storylines. That way they have a strong foundation to move forward. So it's always nice.
And you know, the pirate quest was always that quest line that straddled the middle where it was in a spot where it was kind of serious and there was a good storyline behind it, but it didn't take itself too seriously with the jokes and whatnot
right.
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So this there is, you know, this is a classic RuneScape quest, and it's just going to be so great to see what comes from this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really looking forward to that. Now there was a talk about skilling activities and how skills are supposed to be fun. And this was kind of alluded to by Mod Timbo and Mod Ryan earlier, but, having skilling be fun was on top of what skills should be in the survey, with greater than 30% of people responding. Rewards and XP per hour came in second and third, respectively. So the first update with this in mind will be deep sea fishing, which is, in all essentiality, the spiritual successor to the fishing trawler, which Mod Mark made the great reference that back in the day this was effectively called Bucketscape.
I think that's an accurate portrayal for sure.
Right. And
or Tarscape.
There you go. There you go. So the idea behind this is you'll be catching boats with other players. You'll be going to fishing hotspots that'll vary depending on the day or the week. You'll get different. You'll have different effects there, different XP and different rewards. It's going to be similar to the trawler, but it's in effect taking it to the next level. It's also going to include some fishing spots just for people who want to sit back and watch. And the goal behind this is to bring all levels of players together and ensure that players play together rather than, you know, just playing off in their own solitary area, fishing at the Elven Waterfall.
Yeah, I mean, the way I sort of see this is a nice synergy between the concept of fishing trawler and fish flingers.
There you go.
One might go as far as to say pest control, but just in sense of catching a boat and maybe going to a separate location. But yeah, no, I really like where they're going with that, and I think it has a lot of potential. So,
and along with this, they're also bringing in an update to the thieving skill, which is an expansion to the Thieves Guild, which when you think about it is kind of a very free-to-play area. It's in Lumbridge. It feels kind of low-leveled. So they're going to be expanding this. And it's going to be targeted for level 65 to 95 thieving. But those with 99 thieving will get a boost off the bat and won't necessarily need to do as much, because the sense that Jagex wanted with this is that you have already leveled thieving up to 99. We're not going to make you trudge through this mid-level content just to get to some rewards.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you're going to be doing with this is it's kind of going to be like dungeoneering remote dungeons except for thieving. You're going to travel throughout the world, find various safes, find new treasures, and each of these will act as a perk to the thieving skill. And along with this, there's going to be a brand new tier of hanky points in the thieving guild, as well as some new reward shop items that will bring additional benefits to other thieving methods. Which, you know, goes in line with the diversity of skilling that Mod Timbo talked about. Because right now, if you're level 90 thieving, you have two options. Number one, go to the Dwarf Traders and just spam pickpocket there. Number two, wait until you're about level 93 and go to Prif and just AFK thieve and get great XP while leaning back. So, you know, this safe-cracking update could potentially be the update that is Thieving's Demonic Skull.
I was just going to say, yep, the high intensity, but you're getting a lot bigger return.
Yeah, or even just, you know, fleshing out other areas of it. So
right.
Really interested about this one. Now comes the update that's coming to us on Monday, the Lost Grove. So this was initially billed to us as three new Slayer creatures at level 104, 106, and 108. But there's a lot more. A lot more. 10 new map squares, which is larger than Prif. It's going to be an island off the coast of the Western game world. So off the West Coast, beyond Prif, beyond the Elven Forest, beyond mobilizing armies, beyond all that, there's going to be an island. There's a dark, thick canopy over a lush forest, roots so deep that they intertwine with the heart of the planet and touch the anima. And this is coming next week. This is partially inspired by moss giants, each of these Slayer creatures, and each of them are going to have their own unique challenge or slant to them, and their drop is going to be tier 85 gloves, but we already knew that.
Yeah.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. There's going to be a new weekly D&D in this area. It's going to focus on farming and hunter.
There you go.
So this is what they didn't want to talk about in terms of what was going to be arriving with these new Slayer creatures. And, you know, this is going to be very interesting because we really haven't seen anything like this in a while where you get a whole new area added to the game. And it's actually going to have features, and there's going to be things to do there right off the bat.
Yeah, so I like that they're not just sort of, you know, plunking a dungeon entrance some random place in the world and, you know, just making it their own little hidey hole. I like the fact that they're really, like, expanding, you know, the map. So that's something to look forward to.
It's amazing.
Sure. Definitely caught my attention, yeah.
But, of course, they can't leave the PVM crowd out. Here's your PVM update, Dave, that you've been long waiting for.
It's been bellyaching, I tell you what. It's about time.
A new group boss called Solak. Solak is strongly associated with the Anima, just like Telos and Virago. They're aiming it for to be the toughest boss monster on launch, targeting a group of around 7 people needed to go fight it. It's going to require the best teamwork and coordination in-game since raids, and it's a guardian of Guthix who defends the island, which makes sense since it's intertwining with the Anima. Right. So, and now, it's not only just a boss fight. There's actually some lore behind this. So back in the Second Age, Saren sent a group of elite elf warriors to help in this divine task of taking Solak down, with the betrayal leading to one of those elves becoming consumed by Solak and the island disappearing into the mist of time. 4 ages have passed since this fateful fight. With Solak now both guardian and twisted elf spirit, your job is to split that infectious mental parasite and restore Solak. So that is the lore behind Solak, and it's really interesting that they're tying it in with Saren and the Second Age. Also, we saw the Second Age with the clue scroll rework, so that's kind of where we're going with this. So very interesting. They're also aiming for the fight to be a little bit different with this. Basically, what they want to do is they want players and Solak to use the environment in this fight. There's going to be multiple HP bars to manage and whatnot in this fight, different special attacks, different specific steps that need to be done to stop Solak from gaining in power. And you're going to be up on top of the canopy, down on the forest floor, and around the giant tree itself. So they aim to really take advantage of the environment in this fight. And what they really wanted to also do with this is they said each phase of this fight will have a more narrative feel to it than normal fights, with individual members of the team being called out to beat the challenge at different points in the fight. So hence where it comes to teamwork and coordination. Each player is going to have a role handling various buffs and stacks on their own, with less focus on tank and spank and more on the evolving team-based nature of the fight. Tank and spank. That's an interesting little... that's an interesting little thing there.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they're also going to be including a duo mode with this as well for people who want to fight it with 2 people. And it's going to be very interesting to see who manages to come out on top with this. The new drops for this will be tier 92 dual wielding crossbows with special ammo created from the Slayer monsters on the island. And of course, a new boss pet. So that's coming this week. And what you see here is effectively the only combat update being worked on and being released in the next 6 months.
So, which is hopeful, optimistic, at least in my sense.
Right.
I'm glad they're, you know,
right. And, you know, this in, for all intents and purposes, speaks of back to our roots. Because if you look back at traditional RuneScape updates, they weren't, you know, 100% focused on combat. They were focused on a myriad of different areas of the game. And that's what we're getting here in the next 6 months. And I think what's really key that they did this time around is that everything talked about here is in the process of being implemented.
Right.
So we're not seeing, you know, high
plot. This isn't a bunch of what ifs and
exactly,
you know, whatnot.
Exactly. So, all right. And they do have something rather spooky for Halloween arriving. It's called RuneScape Dimension of the Damned. So this is a RuneScape survival mode. Did you ever think RuneScape and survival would go hand in hand?
Not necessarily, apart from the whole dead man mode type deal. But that was more, you know, the PvP. But this is definitely an interesting concept. I'm sort of looking forward to this for sure.
Yeah. So, like, the idea behind this is that you take something kind of reminiscent of what Darkscape was, and you end up with a really spooky, spooky environment here. Basically, what we're going to be seeing with this is a survival mode for RuneScape. So, I don't know. You think this is going to be popular? Because this is something that's really just being tried here for the month of October.
Yeah, I really do think it's going to take off. Because I know in terms of the multiplayer aspect of Minecraft, the quote-unquote Hunger Games-style survival servers and whatnot have been huge. And I think just survival horror-type games have really seen a growing market, I would say, in the past 3 to 5 years. So I think this concept is definitely not lost on the community. I think it's going to prove to be interesting to bring it to the RS world. So I'm interested to see how it works. It's definitely something that's caught my interest.
Yeah. Let's just have a listen here to what the environment of this sounds like, just to give an idea of how spooky they're aiming it to be. Let's see. There's the video. Can hear the wind howling in the background. And if you look at the accompanying video of this, it's nothing like you've seen in RuneScape before. People impaled on pikes. Zombies. Absolute carnage. So that's Dimension of the Damned. I want to see how this turns out, because it's going to be very interesting. Because you don't get to use your actual gear here, Dave. You get to control a 126 fully maxed out version of your character.
Ooh, that'll be a change of pace for me, man.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone else in the game world is going to be dead. You're going to start in Falador. Everything out beyond that will spawn zombies. Bosses drop power-ups and unique equipment outside, and you can use those to power yourself up. And the longer you survive, the more you'll be able to benefit later on. And players with the highest points will take part in a special final survival mode game later in the final week of October, where they'll have a look and essentially kind of have a 2-hour end game, kind of like old school RS Deadman had, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So this constitutes as the Halloween event then, correct?
That's a good question. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
This is interesting, because I'm going to say this is definitely a very welcome change of pace to the typical go do this little short mini quest and get your costume and then, you know, go on with your day.
I think it would be interesting if it was, but actually, no, it can't be, because this is going to be using a maxed out version of your character. So what you do on this mode isn't going to transfer over.
Right.
So it's going to be
interesting nonetheless. So yeah. I'm definitely excited for this. So,
yeah.
And I think this is obviously on the shorter term of the 6 months as well, seeing as next month is October.
That's
so
right.
I think we'll have something to look forward to right after our Lost Grove. So definitely looking forward to that.
And the 2-hour end game takes place on the final weekend. It's going to have a permadeath mode and a freshly wiped score slate. So that's for people who place highest in the core Dimension of the Damned mode. So, very interesting. And then something else that's kind of a bit out there is group Iron Man mode. So basically gather with your friends, make a new set of accounts, and ultimately determine what's going to be happening, because what they said is, quote, it's a solitary life, never able to run those 5-man dungeons or join in with boss fights. Now you'll be able to make some brand new accounts and get together with your Iron Mates, working as a team, able to fully interact with each other, trading, playing, fighting, and socializing to your heart's content. So that is in development right now. You think we'd see people doing this, given the fact that people already have so many Iron Mans and secondary accounts out there?
You know, it's hard to say. The idea is interesting to entertain nonetheless. And I think I mentioned this before, at least with Diablo 3, having a seasonal mode where every 3 to 5 months or so, there's a new quote unquote season where basically you start fresh and, you know, there's leaderboards and whatnot for, you know, your power and your achievement points and whatnot. And it basically just sort of, wipes clean after that, and it's basically, you know, a 3 to 5 month, in this case, you know, it could maybe be a 6 month deal, where they could incorporate it into a seasonal high scores and basically just see how efficient you are and, you know, just advance your character. And I think that's kind of it's interesting to see them sort of taking this path, so I'm interested to see sort of where this leads.
Well, I mean, players certainly have enough GP to finance the bonds for their secondary accounts, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. And then there is some talk here about other things that are being worked on, but maybe a little bit further away and not necessarily in development and slated for release in the next 6 months. So basically, we had the talk about what's coming to RuneScape, and that was the bulk of it. Now we're having the talk about vision and where RuneScape updates could go in the future, which was a more conventional RuneScape reveals talk at RuneFest. So in here, we talked about the bank rework, still a priority internally. They woefully underestimated, that's their exact words, the amount of time and resources it would take, span 7 products, and it needs to be done properly. So that's why the bank rework is delayed. Mining and smithing development work begun last week.
That's very optimistic. I like hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that point, I'm going to assume it's prototyping and whatnot, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
They also have some ambitious ideas they're thinking about and they always want to challenge themselves with. So day and night cycles, be a Slayer Master, destroy a demon from the insides, and maybe some ominous quests, including the Elder Gods, which is what we heard about last year. I think what people are going to be most excited about here are the day and night cycles and the be your own Slayer Master, because we've heard about all those before and it's definitely something people want. So,
yeah, for sure.
Would be interesting to see if this does go forward. But once again, these are just ideas going forward. So, all right. They also did talk about clans. Yes. Clans, which of course everyone needs and wants to see updated. From stats from this say that 70% of people are members of a clan, and you know it's something that the whole of Jagex Studio wants to see in development in 2018. They want RuneScape to be more social, and clan content along with social content, fun skilling, and alternatives is effectively where they want to go in their next 5-year plan. And they want people to be working together across the existing game. Players should benefit from their friends and especially clans. And that's what they want to do with skilling updates and clans in a nutshell in the future. And along with this, they have challenged every single staff member to think in a more social way. So clans will be hopefully more than just an XP buff.
So. Right.
And that's RuneScape Reveals. So.
Jam-packed.
You know, I honestly have to say I like this format a lot better than what they'd done in the previous years where there was a constant focus on, you know, this is coming around the corner and we're want to do this, but it's not being worked on yet. Whereas here we have tangible things that are in development. And I just want to say one thing to people out there who might be concerned that we won't see these things that are in development, like Pirate Quest, for example. Things like this that are in development are a lot harder to abort because they're so late in their development term and the money has already been invested in them. So unless you see a major showstopper on, you know, the clue scroll rework or the skilling offhands or the pirate quest, you can expect that Jagex will release these in the next 6 months. Unless, of course, there's a major issue with them. And I just wanted to drive that point home because that was in a lot of the discussion I saw online about this is that, okay, so you're talking about all this. Will we actually see this? So it's a lot harder to terminate things that are in development than not. So,
yep.
But I believe that's all we have for this right now in terms of RuneScape reveals. We'll talk about RuneScape combat and lore on an upcoming podcast. We'll see how much we got to talk about with the Grove on this coming episode. So I'm not sure if we'll get to that this week or next week rather on update, but we'll definitely get to it in the near future. So anything else before we go, Dave?
Nope. I think that pretty much covers it. Lots of content. And I think looking forward, we've got a lot to look forward to for sure. So.
All right, so just before we wrap this episode of RSVNB Update, we do have a brief chat with some clan questers. We have Draz, Proto Man, and Cyan. So without further ado, here's what they thought of RuneFest, and in particular, the RS Reveals segment.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Drazu.
Drazu, how do you feel about the reveals that were announced today?
The reveals were very interesting, and they definitely tried to make it clear that anything that they were revealing was something that they were expecting to come out soon-ish, something that we could actually expect to play, nothing that they were kind of hinting at and then was going to fall through the wayside because they decided they didn't want to do it. And so they talked about a bunch of different things, all of which were really exciting. The last thing that they talked about, which I think was the one thing that they said they weren't 100% sure was going to happen, are clan updates. And making some changes in the game, so making it that individual clan members playing together are benefited by doing so. And that just makes me super excited. That'll probably be the last thing that they release of everything they announced, but that's still my favorite thing so far.
So how are you feeling about the day today? Like, have you been enjoying yourself?
Well, so I've been to a couple different RuneFests. I've been on the podcast at RuneFest and answering questions about it before. And this was definitely one of the coolest ones. It felt like the overall setting inside was just really organized, and it was a show. It's kind of it's kind of difficult to explain if you haven't been before, but this was the best one I think I've been to. Not to mention that we had almost 20 clan members here, and just the fact that you can all walk around wearing t-shirts that have got the logo on it, putting on a show and making everyone look at us because we were show-stopping, that was really super fun.
So you had some interesting talks to Lore Talk, so do you want to share anything about that?
Well, I did ask the question. Basically, I asked the Elder Gods, like Anima, they believe that it is delicious, and yet Braska Prime has dubbed himself the god of deliciousness, and so by that logic it would appear that the Elder Gods are in fact seeking Braska Prime, to which the J-Mods failed to have any response, so it appears that I am in fact correct, that Braska Prime is the god of all gods, and so it's a wonderful day to believe in Braska Prime.
Alright, any final words?
Yeah, Proto Man, he called me a very handsome fellow and said I was distracting, but in reality, he is the most handsome man there has ever been, with the exception of Cyan, who is a fairly new guy. He's only been with the clan for about a year, but oh my god, he is like a Greco-Roman deity fallen from the heavens. And I just had to say that on record. I didn't want there to be any confusion about my opinion on the issue.
All right, thank you so much. Who are you?
Protoman 807 here.
So what was your favorite reveal from the reveals talk?
I would say Dimension of the Damned was probably my favorite reveal. It seemed quite interesting. I'm interested to see how they do it. And then Skilling Offhands were also really pretty. Some not-so-good reveals were the... What was the... Oh, I'm after forgetting what was the one that we just said 2 minutes ago. Oh, the fact that like bank rework is being pushed back indefinitely, and then that mining and smithing has only just started, and it sounded like they were going to talk about clans, but then they didn't.
So how do you feel in general about the reveals, and just in general what they announced today?
I saw the 5-year plan for skilling. I thought it was pretty good. I like the idea of diversifying skilling quite a bit. Overall about the day, it was really awesome to have this much clan members here. I would love if we kept improving. Every year we've had more. So my first year, there was 2 of us. It was myself and Vodka. This year we have close to 20. It would be great if we had, 40, 50 members coming to the next year, RuneFest down the a few years from now.
All right. Anything final you want to say?
Draz is awfully distracting with his good looks.
So, who are you?
I'm Cyan.
From?
From Clan Quest.
So, what was your favourite reveal today? Either at the RuneScape Reveals one, or maybe even at the Lore Talk?
My favourite reveal was the Pirate Quest reveal, the Pirate Quest finale. Because I went and talked to Mod Stu earlier in the day, and the question from him was, what quest line would you most like to see continued? I told him, the Pirate Quest. And then when I went into RuneScape Reveals and I saw that that was already planned in the next 6 months, was really exciting to see.
Awesome. So what was the general vibe you got off like the RuneScape Reveal talk?
It was a pretty good vibe. There was lots of excitement from pretty much everything. And then there's another part of it, Dimension of the Damned, which seems to be kind of the Halloween event this year, which looked really good, taking place in the same place as the Dimension of Disaster area. So that, I'm really excited to see that as well.
How are you feeling about RuneFest today in general?
This is my first RuneFest, so I'm really excited to be here, and It's been completely awesome all day. It's been way better than what I expected.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sirion, for grabbing those recordings from the folks from Clan Quest and getting their thoughts on what they thought about RuneScape reveals and the general sentiment at RuneFest in the lore discussion, which we'll have more information on in a coming episode of Update. Now we're just going to take a moment and go talk about what we've been up to in the midweek since our last episode featuring on Invention. This past week, I actually won a Golden God Sword with the community raffle. So it is possible to win those. So I just wanted to mention that because I forgot to mention it in the What Have We Been Doing section there. But aside from that, I just got 97 Dungeoneering by way of a lamp. So
there you go. Awesome. Good deal.
Progressing along with that skill as well.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, no, I've just, speaking of Dungeoneering, I've been camping away my little heart out at Calgarian Demons for my title. So that's kind of where I'm at in terms of RS. So we'll see how long that takes me to get all five of those. So.
Alrighty then. Thank you, Dave. And with that being said, we'll see you next week. And thank you, everyone else, for being a part of this episode of RSBNB Update. You can find full show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You can also find our Informer articles and much more for RSBNB Update on Twitter at RSBNB. And with that being said, thank you for sharing your time with us, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.